Chapter 40 is the verse that's kind of carrying us through this section of the book in which we're going through. Psalm chapter 40, and really we're just going to look at the last verse, Psalm 40 verse 17. Psalm 40 and verse 17. And as I mentioned last week, this is an interesting verse. And to tell you the truth, it wasn't too long ago that I would have been kind of afraid to use some words like this that David uses. Just go ahead and look at verse 17. David says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Make no tarrying, oh my God.
You know, that's kind of an interesting phrase there. Make no tarrying. You know, David is praying and he's making a request of the Lord. Lord, don't delay. I need you now. You know, I mentioned that it wouldn't have been too long ago that I would have, you know, not even really thinking through this, you know, that phrase was in the Scriptures. And it's not more than just one time. I think in Psalm 70, it's listed again, a different verse, but it says, David says, make no tarrying. He says, God, don't delay. I need you right now. I need you to come down now. I need your help right now. And, you know, I have been raised and geared towards the fact of, well, God has the right time, and God knows better than I do. And these are all true statements. I don't know what's right. I don't always know what to pray. And we understand that this prayer is for the type of prayers that we understand that we know, you know, that God would choose. Things that would bring God honor and glory. Maybe things that God has told us in the Scriptures. Maybe it would be the claim of a promise of the Lord. In just a moment, I'm going to read just part of Spurgeon's thoughts, and he's going to allude to Jacob. You remember when Jacob was wrestling with the Lord? Jabbok, and he's wrestling, and he tells the Lord, he says, I'm not going to let you up until you bless me. There's some bold statements that are said there, and there's some pleading that's going on that I think we have much to learn. And so we're going to look at this a little bit tonight. I want to tell you, I'm just going to warn you that some of the things that Spurgeon says, you might look a little bit funny at, like, can we really be that bold? Yet I want you to pay attention to the words that Spurgeon uses. And I, you know, and I can't say that I know that I agree with everything that Charles Spurgeon did or said or believed, but I tell you what, he's a powerful preacher and he believed in a lot of wonderful things and truths of God's Word. And used in a mighty, mighty way many, 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 many years ago, and I think is still being used today in so many of his commentaries and writings that are still such a blessing to us. Even some of his messages, as I've tried to read from time to time, they're deep messages. They're hard to totally understand everything, yet they're very profound. Let me read the verse one more time. But I am poor and needy. Last week we looked at that point, and remember confession. Yes, confession of sin. We need to strip ourselves of the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. But more so, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to strip ourselves of any pride or any self-ability. We can't do it. And honestly, folks, prayer is supposed to be acknowledging that. I can't do it. And God, I'm coming to you because you've got to do this. This is out of my control. And so, God, I need you to do this. I can't muster up enough strength to do this. I can't just make this happen. I can't force that person to change their heart. I can't save an individual. There's many things in lives that we cannot do. Unfortunately, there are things that we can do, and we try to do in our own strength, and we might get a few things accomplished, really, only through God, but God certainly isn't pouring out His blessing upon it because we're trying to do it in our own strength. And so we see, first of all, in that verse, I am poor and needy. Oh, we strip ourselves of any self-ability. And that's the first thing that we must do. The second point that Spurgeon makes out of this verse is the pleading aspect to the Lord. And I have gone through much of those already, just how to plead God's person, His character, His name, for His name's sake. And I've gone through a number of those things, so I'm not going to hit on that point tonight. But then he goes to a third point that I want to read some things to you. And he entitles this little section, The Urgent Soul. The Urgent Soul. Now, he starts off this little part of the chapter to the sinner that's not saved. And he tells them how to be urgent with their pleading for the Lord's direction in salvation. And trusting that you're saved here tonight, I'm not going to read that section. But then he jumps right to the believer. And I want you to listen. I'm going to read slow. Again, Spurgeon is deep and he said some profound things. Now, not so much in this book. I don't think he's as deep in this book as he is in a lot of his messages. But please listen, because I tell you what, I had a day, I say a day, many, many hours and thoughts on this passage, thinking through, and I have a lot more to think through as the Lord leads me in my path towards, Lord, teach me to pray. So listen to what Spurgeon has to say. Believer, the same truth holds true with you. God will come to bless you and come speedily when your sense of need becomes deep and urgent. Oh, how great is the church's need. We will grow cold, unholy, and unworldly. There will be no conversions. There will be no additions to our numbers. There will be subtractions. There will be divisions. There will be mischief of all kinds. And Satan will rejoice, and Christ will be dishonored, unless we obtain a larger measure of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we have all of the Holy Spirit. He's not saying, I'm taking a time out here, he's not saying that we can have more of the Holy Spirit within us. We've got him all, but he's saying a greater work of the Holy Spirit. Our need is urgent. And when we feel that need thoroughly, then we will get the blessing that we want. For my part, brothers and sisters, I desire to feel a spirit of urgency within my soul as I plead with God for the dew of His grace to descend upon the church. I am not bashful in this matter, for I have a license to pray. Begging is forbidden in the streets. But before the Lord, I am a licensed beggar. The Bible says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. You land on the shores of a foreign country with the greatest confidence when you carry a passport with you. And God has issued passports to His children by which they come boldly to His mercy seat. He has invited you. He has encouraged you. He has bidden you to come to Him. And He has promised that whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Matthew 21:22. Come then. Come urgently, come persistently, come with this plea. I am poor and needy. O Lord, make no tarrying. Then a blessing will surely come. It will not tarry. God grant that we may see it and give Him the glory of it. And I wish I could read on, because the next little section is super powerful as well, as he continues on with pleading. But for this evening, I just want to encourage you with being urgent in your soul. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is there an urgency about what you or we believe that God ought to do in our lives. God, I want to become a better prayer warrior for you. I don't know about you, but that's my prayer. I want that. And let me ask you a question. Is that a godly prayer? Does God want me to be a more effective prayer warrior for Him? Absolutely He does. God wants me to be more effective in my prayer. We know that that's God's will. Can I come boldly before the throne of grace and say, God, make no tarrying with that? As Spurgeon says, God has given us license to do so. I don't know about you, but sometimes I am timid and I'm bashful and I'm shy. Like he said he was not. To come before the Lord and say, God, if it be your will. Now, understand, that's a good statement to make. If it be your will, even Jesus referred to that. You know, let your will be done. You know, if it be your will, would you let the cup pass from me? But you see, there are certain things that we know are God's will, certain things that God has shown us through the Scriptures, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and say, God, I know that you want me to become a greater prayer warrior. God, you've told me in your word to become a greater prayer warrior. And God, I'm asking you now to help me do that. And I believe that God is set and fixed to come speedily to you. But God wants us to be urgent in our prayers. God, we need your help now. What are the things that you need right now? God, I need wisdom right now. Tomorrow I have to make a decision. And if you're like me, sometimes I say, God, tomorrow I need to make a decision. Just if it would be your will to let me know, please would you do that? And I'm kind of, you know, timid and shy to be bold with him. And yet we learn that God says that if you would desire things, then we need to ask him to make haste. You know, it's interesting that Spurgeon brings out that verse in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, that's an interesting directive for us. He wants us always to pray. He wants us to come and beg the Lord and plead with the Lord. God, I'm knocking again. I'm still here and I'm asking that you do this. I believe this is your will and I'm asking that you do it. God, make haste. Make no tarrying. Would you please show up? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. What about confidence? Does God want us to have confidence in our prayer? He does. God wants us to eagerly anticipate His blessing. Ask, and it shall be given. What's our problem? God, I'm asking, but I don't know if you're going to give it. God, I'm asking, but I don't know about this. God, I don't know if you would do this. Ask and it shall be given unto you. God, you told me to ask. And I'm expecting you to give it. You know, I struggled even this very day walking around in this room. And if you would have tape recorded me, you would have heard some confessions to the Lord saying, God, is this really right? Am I able to come boldly before the throne of grace and say, God, you've told me this and I am holding you to your word. I say, you don't say that to God. I'm holding you to your word. And yet, hold on a second. Can we hold God to his word? What do you think? Now that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Can I hold God to his word? If I cannot hold God to his word, what does that mean about God? Then God changes. Then God, you know what? Sometimes I can trust him, sometimes I cannot. But brothers and sisters, if God has promised it, if he's provided for it, if he's told us, if he has directed us in a certain way, then brothers and sisters, even though we see nothing, we can go to God. And again, for me, this is kind of stepping into new territory, but I can demand of God that he do what he said. And mark it down. It's not some proud spirit that says, God, I can demand of you. No, remember how David starts. But I am poor and needy. This is not a proud statement that says, God, I deserve you to do this. Now you come down. No, no, no. Brothers and sisters, we don't talk that way to God. Do you understand that? What Spurgeon is saying and what this verse is saying, what David is saying, as we have seen God work, as we see God's way and how He's directed, and we believe what God wants, then we can come to God like Jacob said to the Lord. He says, God, I'm not going to let you up except you bless me. And had God already promised a blessing to Jacob? What's the answer? He had. Jacob could come boldly and say, God, I'm not going to let you up until you bless me like you said you would. Has God promised to provide for you, Christian, as you give? Understand the prerequisites given to us in the Scriptures. As Philippians tells us, as we give to God's work, has God promised to provide our needs? What's the answer, Christian? Yes, He has promised it full force. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches, right? He's told us that. Can I come boldly before the throne of grace as you are a giver and as you give your tithe and your offerings, as you give to the Lord of your time, as you give to the Lord, can you come boldly before the throne of grace and say, God, you told me that you would meet my needs. God, I'm expecting you to meet those needs. Can we do that? My brothers and sisters, although it's contrary to the way some of our thinking is, we can do it. And God gets honor and glory through it. He's not going to do it because I clenched my fist and did that. He's going to do it because God is a God that lives up to what He says, because God doesn't lie. God tells the truth. God doesn't lead us in vain. God, have you led me out of Egypt to die? And what was the answer? Did God lead the people out of Egypt so that they would die in the wilderness? No. And had He given a promise to take them to the promised land? Yes, it was the promised land. They had the answer from the Lord, and yet those people, God, have you led us out here to die? But my friend, in a different light, can I tell you, God is not going to lead you and guide you to where you're then led and led and led and then just empty-handed and left out in the wilderness to shrivel up in the heat and parchment of mouth and tongue. God doesn't do that. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. And yeah, there's times of fire and flood and flame, but He always leads us to the light. He always leads us to His truth. He always has an end to it. And David here is urgent about that. God, would you please bring it, and bring it quickly? We don't know exactly when God has for us. But here the opposite. I think what Spurgeon is trying to make is some of us pray like patty cakers. God, I don't know. God, I don't know. Whatever you want. And, you know, I don't know if you want this for me. And Spurgeon gives an illustration in a part that I didn't read about taking a note to the bank. And when you take that note to the bank, do you leave without the money if the note's good? No, and if you take that note to the bank, you're going to go there and you're going to wait there until you get that money, because the note's good and you're going to get it. Folks, why do we go to the teller at the bank? And I don't mean irreverence to the Lord. Why do we go to Him? And sometimes we go and we turn in the note and we are okay to walk out without an answer. Think about that. You're okay to walk out. I don't know. Now, again, I'm not saying that every time we pray, you know, we're just gonna be able to dictate everything that God does. Remember, there's a lot of prerequisites that come before this. As we pray in God's name, we pray His promises and His purpose and who He is, consistent with His character, consistent with His plans for us. As God has led us, as God has allowed circumstances to happen in life, as God has directed through counsel, as God has given us His word, as we begin to see His truth, then we can come before the throne of grace and say, God, would you please answer what you've already said? Would you please come? Would you make no tarrying? Do what you said you would do. God is not going to leave us destitute. And he wants to come, but I believe with all my heart, God wants to see an urgency from his children. God, I need you, and I need you now. My children, sometimes they need daddy. My wife sometimes needs her husband. You know what? And when we plead, you know, when there's not an urgency, sometimes we're okay to say, Daddy, would you come? And be okay to keep working. And, you know, a few minutes later or later, you know, then we might say it again. And we might altogether give up because it's not that important. But I can assure you that when one of my children or my wife needs me and there's an urgency, that I've got to have the help of my daddy or I've got to have the help of my husband, then they're going to cry out until it's heard and until I come. Now, if that would be a good earthly father, wouldn't you think that a good heavenly father would choose to do the same? He would. Please, before I close, make no mistake. I'm not talking about proud prayer. Remember the first statement. For I am poor and needy. It's not because I deserve. Hey, Daddy, don't you know? No. No, God. Father, as your son, you've promised to do this for me. God, make no tarrying. Would you please answer? And there's so much more to say, but I'm going to stop with that. So much more to give you.